This is the Merrickville Catch-Up Podcast.
Make sure you never miss a thing.
Download the Merrickville Catch-Up from the Triple M app.
Where am I? Welcome to Merrickville.
Welcome back to Monday, to the working week, Sydney. Welcome back, Lawrence Mooney.
It's very nice to be back. My back is in a spasm at the moment, so I've got a little scoliosis. I look like the letter S.
A bit of a bad way, Lawrence. Big weekend. What are we doing? Nutbush City Limits.
Did the Nutbush. And just my coccyx flew out of position, and so I've got to get it put back in.
What about your back? What happened to your back? Liam, new record 4 minutes.
I was going to say, almost very proud of you two for leaving both Nutbush and coccyx alone.
What is a Nutbush?
Why do you have to leave your coccyx alone?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What's on the show today, miss?
Big Mel's voicemail will be here. We'll have a quiz later on about the Melbourne
Cup. It's
going to
be great.
And up next, we've got a very special edition of Hurt Locker. Moon Man, I had to go to the dentist to get a tooth, one of my old amalgams, which, you know, what us old people have got in our teeth.
They're full of mercury,
ready
to poison your complete system. That's why they don't like to disturb them, or if they are, they're going to take them out.
Yeah, so
got a bit of mercury in there.
And a bit of zinc, and I think a little bit of lead. I'm certainly
And a lot
leaded.
Of uranium.
Heaps of uranium, and a bit of urine.
And bandages from third world hospitals just jammed in there.
They're not great things, but you do eventually they're going to have to be replaced. So I've had to have one taken out. And
are you a regular to the dentist?
Yeah, I go at least twice a year and make sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, same.
Otherwise, they end up pulling your teeth out of your face.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had to have it removed, and she said, my dentist said to me, we'll just whack a little needle in there and make it go numb. And I said, nah, I'm old school. And she goes, what? And I said, I'm old school, no needle. And she said, really? And I said, no, I've got radio to do. I need my face to not be Bell's palsy.
So, right. And often the needle hurts a lot more than the actual procedure because they just stick a needle into your gum.
Yeah.
And see, down to your jaw.
That's it. I don't like the look. See, I was trying to pretend I was being a tough guy. I say, no, I don't need it because I'm tough. And I'll just drill away. Just get that drill out. I'm petrified of needles in my face. I don't like them. I just said, no needle, thanks.
It's hell, the needle. I actually used to be very frightened of the dentist, like most kids are. And so I ended up going to this. And my parents sent me to a gentle dentist. And he was just a lovely man. And I have been going to the same dental surgery for all of my life.
Really?
Since 1971, I asked the last time I was there, I said to the receptionist, can you pull my record out and tell me, you know, the first time I came here? And she said, June 1971, checkup. And you want to know how much it cost? $1.
Wow.
Way back in 71, a dollar.
Isn't that incredible? That's similar to today if you've got private healthcare.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I mean, 100. Wow.
I've had a few dentists over the years, but my first dentist was my mum's dentist. Big shout out to Jerry. I think he's with God, and he was.
Did he do a bit of dental work on the side? Was he also a butcher or a motor mechanic?
Funny you should say that. We used to call him the butcher, right? My brother and I used to call him openly in the family. We used to call him the butcher. My old man never went to go and visit Jerry, the butcher. Only my mum, which would take because my mum went to go and see Jerry because she had a horrible bus accident. She was in a bus that got hit by a train and smashed all her face apart. She had to have she lost a whole lot of teeth and had to have facial reconstructive surgery. Yeah, Jerry.
She was in a bus. Hold on. Whoa. She was in a bus that got hit by a train.
Yeah, like in the movies. Movies. So she was on a bus in Broken Hill, right? And she was crossing the line where the only railway line that goes through Broken Hill. She went to go and cross it in a school bus, and the bloke stopped at the line and saw the freight train coming with all the ore on it and went, nah, got heaps of time, gunned it, but was in second gear, stalled on the tracks. Bang! Splowed through, killed a few. My mum got absolutely annihilated. And so happy stories. Oh.
Makes your mum's accident with the trolleys look a bit piss weak, doesn't it, Loss?
Tell us about your mum's escalator story again. Yeah.
If only she'd have taken a dive and pretended to be damaged.
Got over by a train.
Yeah.
So
I'm lost. What are we doing here? We're just reliving
your
old dentist.
Conversation, mate.
Makes your mum's trolley accident look a bit piss weak. My mum got nearly crushed to death. She'd been emotionally scarred. Liam's like, get up, Olive. You are as weak as piss, Olive.
So my My mum had to have this. She had to go and get several procedures done, and she went to see Jerry the Butcher, who used to be he was a forensic dentist for the coppers. So they used to call Jerry in because, quite frankly, I think I always said this to my mum. He's only good dealing with dead bodies because he treats the living with such disregard. So here's this thing, Jerry. When I was a kid, I had an impacted tooth. My baby tooth was not coming through. It would stay there, and all the other teeth would come through, and this one little bloke wouldn't come through. Mm. So Jerry removed it for me with a scalpel and a pair of pliers with no anaesthetic at all, because he thought the kids got treated too softly. So he removed it, and he pulled it out of my face using a scalpel and a pair of pliers and pulled it out, and I saw it in his hands, and I went, that looks a lot like one of my teeth.
Was Jerry mildly aroused? Was he a sadistic man?
Like, well, he used to hand out lollipops later on, but I didn't want one.
No. I don't want one of your lollipops. I don't know where your hands have been, Jerry.
Why does it have to be in your pants the whole procedure? Why can't they be in a bowl at reception?
I don't have to get it out of your pocket.
What are we talking about?
There'd be a coin stuck to it.
Jesus. Why do I have to hold it before I get
okay. Well, I think we're doing Hurt Locker.
We're doing Hurt Locker. Doing. Liam, get this show back on the road.
Ouch. Life is pain.
Very ouch.
Pinky on my right hand is caught. Dislocated that and broke it in three places.
Hit the gear stick with me front teeth. Teeth were still in the gear stick.
Oh. Well, there you go. There's one example there.
Welcome to Merrickville's Hurt Locker.
Today we're doing mouth injuries. So teeth, mouths, anything to do with your jaw, your face, your lower mouth. So not your nose, not your eyes, very specifically teeth or your mouth. So you got some stories there. We just heard a guy who put his teeth into a gear stick. That's a fairly good level to begin at.
I fell off the monkey bar at kindergarten. Because I wasn't the most coordinated, strong little chap. And I got up pretty high, was having a bit of a swing, came off and hit a bar on the way down, and my teeth went through my top lip.
Oh, that's a good one.
Through the top lip.
So it's like, lip flap and a lot of blood.
All right.
Lip flap.
Oh, look, there's Flappy Moody.
There's lip flap.
1-3-3-5-3, give us a call. For your Hurt Locker stories, we're taking mouth, teeth, anything to do with that kind of area. Teeth, mouth, lips, anything you like. 1-3-3-5-3 for Hurt Locker.
104.9.
Triple M.
We're doing Hurt Locker today.
Ooh.
Special edition. We're doing mouth
teeth
injuries.
Face.
Teeth face.
Oh, because what about when the bubbler at school and the bully would see you hovering over the bubbler and just impact the back of your head so your teeth went into the bubbler?
Is it like in the 80s, you just knew people, like it was just a daily occurrence. You would just go to school going, I wonder who's going to lose teeth today. Is it going to be me?
Yeah.
I wonder if Scott Jackson's going to lose teeth today. That was a question asked.
Scotty.
I wonder if Ashley Waith will lose a tooth today.
I reckon David Powell is probably going to lose a molar today.
It was that way.
Or worse, half a tooth. When you see those instances where just
You know what? And I say this, my nephew's a great kid, Ike. He it's my brother's son. He had a trampoline accident a few years ago. Double bounce classic. This is only about 4 or 5 years
double
ago.
Double bounce classic.
And this boy's as hard as nails. Like, seriously, this guy, he's born for injury. Mm.
Well, he's a Watts.
Yeah, he took one in the teeth on the edge of the trampoline, and it didn't just knock him out. The two front teeth snapped him in half.
Snappage.
I just got half a tooth. and he's just going, do I have to leave the party? And everyone's going, yeah, mate. Because you've got half teeth now. Yeah. He goes, but I'm having a good time. Yeah, but the party's over because you've lost your teeth, mate.
And we can see the nerve sticking out of the busted bit.
They ended up dying, those teeth. Anyway.
They turned black.
Let's take your story. Steve in Kingsford. Hello, mate.
Yeah, guys, how are you?
Yeah, good. Mouth, face injuries. Go.
Yeah, like I was playing cricket and I got hit in the lower mouth or jaw area with the ball. About a week later, I felt this throbbing pain in my teeth area. So I went to a dentist on the Gold Coast and he did some root canal work. Probably about 4 or 5 years later, I was in Sydney and I had some more pain. So they did some x-rays and they found every single tooth had the file left in there, the actual file.
What?
From the dentist. He left them in there. I don't know why he didn't take them out. He must have snapped them in and just covered over the top.
The files?
the files. Yeah, the actual files when they do your root canal work.
Yeah.
The files that go in to make it easier for them to access it. Yeah. You just left them in there.
I just left some shit in your face.
I will not go to a dentist. I haven't been to a dentist, I won't say, 10 years. I won't go.
Stephen, I'm surprised. You just left
it. He just buried some secrets in your face.
I can't afford it. No, never again.
Do you reckon that dentist knew? Do you reckon he just went, I've left those in there?
You know what it is? It's
in his 70s.
Yeah, in the oh my god, you know your dentist is Ivan Milat. There's a couple of horror stories buried in your face.
Oh, that's wrong. You can't go leaving things in.
They eventually rot. Aaron in Campbelltown, hello.
How are you?
Very good indeed, mate. Mouth face injuries, go.
Yeah, righto. I was at playing hockey with my sister. She had training. Went down to her training and one of the girls came off injured, so I was like, grabbed the hockey stick, and then playing for a bit, and then the chick had a big backswing and knocked pretty much all my teeth out.
Oh, you thought, I'll play with the girls and show them a thing or two. Oh,
yeah.
I'll show them how to cry.
Up to the dentist, and then they put two screws in my two front teeth, and then they had to put fillings in for the rest of them, and yeah, never been back to a dentist since. I hate it.
Yeah, as is the tip, mate, go back to the dentist. Is it great? You know, because they've left the right thing in your face, teeth.
Yeah.
True. Now's not the time to give up on dentistry sport.
Yeah.
Follow it up. Steve in Belmore. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys.
All right. For Hurt Locker, talking to you about teeth face injuries.
Big music concert. Bunch of sort of hippies on one of those sort of blanket trampoline things.
Oh, yeah. People holding
and,
the blanket.
Mate, they're getting some height. Like, there's some people going really high, and this one guy, just, I don't know what happened, he hit it wrong and went flying off, came down pretty hard, and literally ate a toe ball.
Oh!
The back of the car. smashed literally all of his teeth, his nose, split his jaw straight down the middle, and flapping open like one of those deep-sea creatures. It was horrendous.
Oh!
Like they hurt when you accidentally hit them with your shin.
I know.
Imagine hitting that with your face.
Hippie onto a toe ball.
And to make matters worse, it had rained and you couldn't actually get out. And it was bad. Like we had to treat him there and it was horrendous.
Oh,
he's swallowed.
Good thing about it, though, there was a lot of pharmaceuticals around to help the bloke. So
right.
Yeah, but ecstasy only feels good if you start with it, mate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm certainly encouraging
drinkies, but... So, treating him with a bong, you can't do that.
No.
Because he can't shut his jaw anymore. Oh.
Because he's got no face.
A flapping open.
The whole toe ball right in the mouth face.
Oh. That is great. Did it have half a tennis ball on it?
It would have helped. That would be merely like a condom of the toe ball world. Andy and Earl, hello.
How are you, fellas? All right?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, all good. Right. Teeth, mouth, face injuries. So what do you got?
Mine's my teeth and my tongue. So when I was about 5 years old, I had a birthday party and all my cousins were over on like a swing set. And it was just in front of a garage. So I went behind it to access the slippery dip. And as I went behind, I got hit in the chest with the swing from my cousins on it. My head hit the back of the garage. The back of my head hit the garage, sorry. And my teeth went straight through my tongue. And half of it just got ripped off. It was hanging by like a thread. So I had the tongue in my hand, ran up to my parents. My mum freaked out. There was blood everywhere. And she gave me one of those icy poles because she thought that would help. And it just turned completely red.
You bit your tongue off. Do you feel like
an icy
pole face?
Literally bit it off.
Have a Buffalo Bill.
Here comes the money. Sorry, I think you've forgotten the bit where you give me some money.
Because someone has to pay Merrick's salary. Here's a word from our sponsor.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Moonman and I, by partial request, mainly from us, but also too from a lot of people who listen to the show, have said, why don't you guys do a little stage show together?
Something. Some people have said, why don't you guys do a lot of things? But we took the stage show suggestion.
Like the time when Liam said, put this in your mouth, and we're like, oh, yeah. I don't know about that, Liam.
I don't know. It's the workplace, mate.
Yeah.
It was a chupa-chup, and it's bad for our teeth.
Yeah.
Tiny chupa-chup.
I wish you two put a toe ball in your mouth.
Oh. Not going to happen. Well, Loz and I are going to be doing a small stage event, a one-off. It's on the 22nd of November. It's called Picture Discuss. It's at the Comedy Store in Sydney, of course. You can go to comedystore.com.au for details. Mm. It's very reasonably priced, and I'm not going to lie, it's going to be as loose as... That's how loose it's going to be.
Is it the 21st of November?
Okay, it's the 21st of November.
Yeah, it is. Tuesday the 21st November.
It's Tuesday the 21st of November. We'll pick up there, Lawrence Mooney. Don't come on the 22nd.
Because when you said 22nd, it's like, oh, I'm not going to be there, mate. I'm the 22nd.
21st, go to comedystore.com.au for more details and tickets. Big Mal, always a big week in the news for Big Mal.
Yeah, I just before we get into Big Mal's voicemail, I'm just obsessed with that story of the bats spreading viruses that can kill you. And I just figure that if a bat came down and you ended up with a bat on, what would be the next thing to do?
I don't know. They suggest you go and see your GP.
Off.
No,
get it off you. Thank you for allowing me to get that crappy joke in. Okay,
I think you got it away.
Yeah, I definitely got that one away, which is good.
How is that 4-minute Red Hot Chili Pepper song not enough for you blokes to get this out of your system?
Malcolm Turnbull, our beloved Prime Minister, is in all sorts of trouble. Mm. I mean, they are dropping like flies in Parliament because they're not from Australia.
No.
They're from elsewhere, and that's against the Constitution. So let's find out if he's got a plan. We've got unfettered access. Here's Malcolm Turnbull's voicemail.
Hello, this is the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking. Everything is going completely tits up. It appears nobody in the coalition is actually Australian. Frydenberg's Hungarian, Hawke's Greek, and Parrish is a Pom. Dear Fred, we all came from somewhere else. But this may spell the end for me, and to tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind a quieter job. Maybe one of the many retirees down at Bunnings. Lowest prices are just the beginning. Tell me what your alternative career is and leave a message. Turnbull, you lily-livered, white flag-waving, quitting knots. I'd love to do therapeutic massage. Strictly non-sexual, but really help people loosen up tight muscles in order to relieve stress. That, or join an outlaw motorcycle gang and beat rival gang members with a pipe. It's Lazarus.
Well, hi, Mr. Turnbull. It's Shaggy Lambie speaking. If I wasn't a politician, I'd actually quite like to become a tarot card reader. Oh, welcome to Madame Jackie's woodshed of mystique. What do the cards have in store for you today, Mr. Turnbulls? Oh, the Queen of Cups, the Lovers, and the Magician. I don't know what any of those things mean, but I reckon you're... See you in Bunnings.
Hello, Malcolm. It's Rudy Vanderstone, the stereotypical Dutchman from Medicville speaking. I've just been out the back fixing the windmill, carving some new clocks, smoking my pipe and riding my bicycle through Amsterdam. Martha and I have been discussing this, and if I was to quit plumbing, as you know, I'm a plumber, we'd become voluntary sex workers with the Red Cross. We'd go into humanitarian crisis areas and give out sex for free. It's Rudy.
Yeah, g'day, Malcolm, it's Russ here. If I gave up acting, I'd just head up to Australia Zoo and hang out with Terry, feed the crocs and smoke darts. Yeah, I'm just going to pop out for a smoke. It's Russ.
Hello, Malcolm, it's Pino. It really upsets me to hear you speak like that. Maybe we could go into business together and open a cake shop. Ooh, Mal and Pino's puddings. Or maybe something clever like the icing on the cake, the fluffy sponge, or the cream in the buns. So much cream. Ooh, I've got it. What about this, Malcolm? The Pie Minister. I'd fill every pie with meat. Ooh, meat and steaming gravy. It's Pino.
Tomorrow, is Cup Day. It's going to get loose. That's a great day where everybody in Sydney pretends they're a bit like Melbourne and has the day off, but really they're at work and they're half cut. That's what happens here.
And they have an office sweep, and then you just end up blind, lying down by the photocopier.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the good thing about tradies is that tradies can knock off. Because the cup is close enough, you just go, all right, let's just call it a little bit early, because it's not that much earlier. You call it early, go and have a few cans, listen to the cup and enjoy it, and watch it on TV or whatever.
How familiar are you guys big fans of the Melbourne Cup?
I'm a big fan of drinking.
Okay.
I would probably, of all the vices that I don't have, I'm not a gambler, thank goodness, but I always have a bit of a punt on the cup. So I will be taking 22 tomorrow, rekindled, I think it is.
Okay. That's rekindling, my tip. Rekindling. Well,
rekindling, yes.
Well, you mentioned
kindling.
There's
house fire.
There's the horses' names are always an interesting one for me, which is why today we're going to play a little quiz around the Melbourne Cup.
Can I ask you, Lee?
Sure.
And we've got Emma Friedman, who
yes,
of course is from.
She's going to be on just after 5:30.
And I'll ask you this: is there any horses in the Melbourne Cup called Two Girls? Because that'd be amazing if that horse won Two Girls.
Oh yeah,
because Two Girls won the cup.
Won the cup, yeah. Mm.
Two girls, one cup.
If we buy a horse, we'll call it two girls.
Oh yeah, let's buy a horse. Unfortunately, the ones we'd have to get a good one, and we can't afford that.
Let's play this.
Let's get a Shetland pony.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Because today's quiz
is it
a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song?
Oh, right,
that's
because
tricky. I didn't see this one.
Some of the names are quite similar.
Is this, have you been spending time in your John Mayer back catalogue and you've just gone, you know what? These are remarkably like.
Do you know, I put this together and I tested it on our producer, Matty, and I said, mate, you've got to tell me if it's a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song. He's like, unfortunately, I know every John Mayer song.
Oh, wow. See, I don't know any John Mayer songs, I don't reckon, but I'll have a guess. But I know a few cup winners, so let's see how we go.
All right, well, I'm going to let Lawrence go first then.
Okay, all right.
Oh. Okay, Lawrence,
So we don't need buzzers today?
No buzzers required today. It's best out of five. You both got five each. See how many you can get. So, right. Lawrence, first one. Is this a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song, Red Handed?
Ooh, that is a John Mayer song.
It's a horse.
Really?
Red-handed won the Melbourne Cup in 1967.
Fair dinkum.
Okay. Next one.
It sounded like something that John Mayer would sing. He's just like red-handed. Yeah. He's talking about
caught you red-handed.
Hence the beauty of this game.
He's talking about his own hand.
Right. Spanking.
Spanking hand.
His spanking hand turned all red.
None
red
from one. Oh,
yes. Relax it, John. You won't be able to play guitar.
Lawrence, number two. Is this Melbourne Cup winner or John Mayer song? Right. Wildfire.
Oh, that's John Mayer. Say, ain't
it been some kind of day? You and correct.
Me, been I got so wildfire
in my pants. I got a wildfire.
Okay.
Well, hang on a second.
Does he write any songs that are not for children's animations? Because that sounded like it should have been on Shrek.
Okay, yeah. I don't know.
That sounds very Pocahontas to me.
One from two loss. Here we go. Number three, Rain Lover.
Melbourne Cup winner.
Correct. Won it in the 68 and 69. Two-time cup winner.
He won it in the 69.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can't put a foot right. All right.
The
number
69 cup.
You're two from three, Loz.
That's a cup we all want to win.
You're two from three, Lawrence. Assassin. Is Assassin a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song?
Oh, I'm going to go John Mayer song. I'm
an assassin. Correct. This is a good run, Loz.
You sound like an assassin.
I am an assassin, and I'm going to shoot you with my gun.
Okay, last one.
The game now is, can I make a John Mayer song an X-rated song?
Yeah.
I'm an assassin, and my rifle is rock. No, sorry.
It's definitely not the game. Last one, Lawrence. Here we go. You're three from four. Is this a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song? Heartbreak Warfare.
Oh, more John Mayer song.
Correct. Bombs are falling everywhere. He went four from five, Mez. Yeah. You got to go perfect round to win this.
Yeah, all right.
Ooh. Okay.
A lot of pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, there is, actually.
Merrick Watts.
Yeah, go.
Queen of California. Is that a John Mayer song or a Melbourne Cup winner?
I reckon it's a Melbourne Cup winner. I just found out a ghost left town, and the Queen of California is stepping down. Not even right.
There's too much John Mayer.
All right, next one, Miz.
We're going to get some angry people.
Rising Fast a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song?
I think it's John when he's around attractive young ladies. It's a Melbourne Cup winner.
Yeah, no, well, you got it wrong.
No, it was a...
I said it was John Mayer.
John around attractive women.
Yeah, which is not.
Because it was called Rising Fast, mate. That was clearly the joke. Lawrence saw that. Do you know, mate... Come on, you don't need to go to comedy school for that one. The answer was, of course, it's a Melbourne Cup winner. I'm aware of that. I can't even tell you the year.
Rising Fast. I think from memory, used to love a wet track too.
Merrick's Let's finish this so we can all go home. Merrick, next one. Sister Olive. Is Sister Olive a John Mayer song or a Melbourne Cup winner?
Melbourne Cup winner.
Correct, 1921.
Really?
You're two from three. Last two. You need these two to draw, Miz.
I think loved a wet track.
Dear Marie. Is Dear Marie a Melbourne Cup winner or a John Mayer song?
Ah, John Mayer song.
Dear Marie.
Correct.
Dear Marie.
Dear Marie. He's got one song. He just changes the title and then you buy it. They're all the same.
All right. I've got a microphone.
No, stop it. Last one.
Dear Marie, can you just touch me there?
Merrick, for the draw.
Had a really long day and it would
this
be
is for the
much
draw.
Appreciated if you could touch me there. Sorry.
Dear Marie,
okay.
Touch me there. Not there, over there.
Had a tough day at work.
I am actually about to pull your microphones down. It's the last one.
We are. Okay,
this is for the draw, Miz. You're very competitive.
You're being really bossy, Liam. You're ruining cup E for everybody.
Okay, give me one more chance.
Paper Doll. Is it a John Mayer song or a Melbourne Cup winner?
John Mayer song.
Toilet Paper, paper Doll.
It's the same song. It's the got same one song. Step out of that black chiffon. No, it is.
Paper Doll, I couldn't afford a real human. So instead I made myself a sex doll out of paper mache. I used heaps of clag and lots of paper. Then I
stuck
used
it
some
to
of
the wall. The original title was Toilet Paper Doll.
Clag. It was actually something I made myself at home.
Homemade glue. I make on my own. Stick myself.
Merrick. Goodbye,
Merrick's gone. He fell down
on the floor.
Lawrence Mooney is about to depart, but just before you do, Loz, I just want to ask you a question about smuggling booze into parties, because Jamie Soward, Sowie, of course, who works here at Triple M, terrific bloke, got married on the weekend. He had an open bar at his wedding, right? So he just said to his mates, open bar, whatever you like. Just go and get whatever you like, whenever you like. And they've all gone, that's a great idea, Sowie. And then one of his mates rolled up with a hip flask with vodka in it to a wedding with an open bar.
Not required.
No. Sowie also said to him, look, we're going to the beach. He goes, I'll just go and get a bag of sand. He's going, we'll be right, mate. There's going to be a heat there.
No, I've been putting salt in this water all afternoon, so we might as well take it with us. I have been party to trips to the cricket with injected fruit.
Where, you've done that. You've smuggled booze in.
Yeah, where you've inject oranges with vodka, inject a watermelon, and then you cut it open and eat the fruit, and then you are ejected shortly after tea time for partial nudity. No, it really works. Injecting fruit with, and not suggesting people do this.
No, I didn't inject fruit with alcohol responsibly.
Yeah. It does mean that you've somewhere in your house, you've got a syringe. Really?
Yeah. After you injected the fruit, the oranges and the watermelons with vodka, after you felt the effects of it, did you accidentally inject your banana as well?
Yeah, totally. And ended up, we were sharing the needle, I got hep C.
Wouldn't it be hep B?
Lots of years ago.
I don't know.
My old man and I, we didn't have a great relationship when I was a young kid, but when we
and then he passed away.
Yeah, I know. Then we became best mates, and then he died. Good timing, thanks, Dad. But I remember when I was 18, I was a young bloke, and I could have a beer with my old man, and he liked the fact that we could share a beer. Then, and we started to become mates. And he said to me once, he goes, "Oh look, we just started to become mates." He said, "I've got two tickets to go to this jazz festival. Will you come with me?" And I went, "Nah, mate, we're not that close." And he said, "I'll shout all the grog." And I went, I just weighed it up and I went, I'm 18, I can't afford my own booze, but if I go with Dad, Dad'll pay for it. I'm prepared to put up with Jazz.
Yeah, I'll give me the Dizzy Gillespie and half a dozen cans.
Exactly. So I went, you know what, roll the dice, Watsy, you're 18, who knows, maybe you like jazz music, turns out I don't. But I went there, and as we got through the gates, the old man just goes, suckers, and pulled out a hip flask of Bundy rum. And I just went, oh, my God, my 65-year-old father's a booze smuggler.
Oh,
that is
great.
Fantastic, Dad. Well done. Geriatric booze smuggler.
And that's his legacy. That is.
Yep.
What did your father pass on to you? Take booze to a jazz concert, take some Bundy, and get off.
Exactly. That's what he did. So I'm asking people, 13353, where have you smuggled booze into? Because I've now, as you say, Lawrence, it's been passed on to me at the ACRAS, which is Australian Commercial Radio Awards, which is something that about 14 people really care about. each year when we go to the awards, I always take along my own booze. I always take a little hip flask of whiskey because they don't serve it there. They only serve beer and red wine. I don't want to drink that. So what I do is I take a little hip flask of whiskey and then I order a teacup. I ask for a cup of tea from the waiters and waitresses and I get the tea and they go, what do you like? And I said, peppermint tea, please. And then when they come, they always give you the water separate. So I flick the tea bag away. I never pour out the water. And what I do is I just pour whiskey into the cup and it looks like tea.
Ah, like you're having a nice little cup of tea.
Yeah.
Till you start yelling abuse at other radio stations.
Yep. And then I looked it up online, and that is a classic indicator of alcoholism.
Yeah. I reckon that there's some other indicators too. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to the pub. See you, mate.
Lawrence Moody, great to see you again, mate. Thanks for sticking around for it. I want to open up the phones. 13353, where have you smuggled booze into? Here comes the money. Sorry, I think you've forgotten the bit where you give me some money.
Because someone has to pay Merrick's salary. Here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
So many calls coming through. Why am I not surprised?
I'll kick Lawrence out of the studio.
Moon Man had to go because only so he could go and get a drink. Well, you know, it's after five.
He smuggled it into the studio.
And the funny thing is, Loz is going to see the osteo, and I reckon he'll sneak one in before he sees the osteo, and he'll get there and go, you know what? My back's not that bad now.
I feel good.
I've had a couple of liquid painkillers. We're asking you, where have you smuggled booze into? Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit notorious. I've got a hip flask.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to use it.
Mm.
It's not because I'm a tired ass. It's because I don't want to pay money for drinks.
We used to go to, I've been to a few of those festivals over Christmas, Falls festivals and the likes. And the great one that we used to do was that you'd empty the spare tire well in the back of your car where that sits. And that's where you'd stash all your booze because they'd check your car as you drove in.
Oh, yeah. Very clever.
So you'd fill that up with all your booze and then you'd put all your luggage on top. Yep. And then when they'd go to check, it's a bit difficult to get everything out. That's just the spare tire that's shaped like vodka bottles. Don't worry about that.
Mm. Very clever. Sometimes what I do is I get an oversized jumper and make my son wear it. And then I tape cans of Jim Beam and Cola right across his chest like that, just like a bandolera. Yeah.
And then just tell him you've got an obese child.
And then just go, but Dad, we're just going to Sky Zone. I go, shush, Daddy needs it. No, I'm going to get a call from the police one day and I'm going to have to explain I was only joking. 13353, taking your calls. When have you smuggled booze into somewhere? We've got Sam in Wollongong. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you going?
Really good. Was it you that smuggled booze into somewhere?
No, it was actually my nan.
Oh, God. Really? Nan smuggler? How old is Nan?
Nan was, when she did it, Nan was about 73.
So she was smuggling sherry?
No, cask wine.
Oh, what a battler. If you'd said to me Bailey's or something like that, I'd go, oh, yeah, okay. But she's smuggling cask wine. Whereabouts and how?
So we were at the Lone Star, the steakhouse, the old steakhouse restaurant. So you see heaps of those. Yep. And she put it into her plastic drink bottle and popped it in her handbag.
I understand with pensioners, though, Sam, because, you know, look, they don't have a lot of money and they've got to make things go a little bit further. But why just, if you're 73 years of age and you're pouring cask wine into a drink bottle to take to the Lone Star. Nan's got a problem, Sam.
Yeah, she may have. Oh. She didn't mind a drink, old man.
No, good on it. Well, that's a new way of doing it. You know what you need to do, Sam. If you ever need to smuggle booze in somewhere, you just get your Nan to do it for you. Take her as a human shield.
I love the idea of Sam's Nan just necking the cask wine, getting up on the bucking bronco at the Lone Star.
That's it. Just get cutting loose. Thing is, with a pensioner, no one's going to call you, Liam. You're never going to get searched. Like, if you're going to go to a concert, Stereo Sonic or something like that, just take Nan there, you know? Mm. And Nan, too, like, you know, I don't want to be rude, but, you know, with a Nan, there's a few places on their body you can hide booze. And I'm talking about underneath the bra, because underneath there, because they've gone south. And
you're just a bit off mic. Do you just want to say
nothing? No. I don't want to repeat that. Phil at Voyager Point. Hello, mate.
How you going, guys?
Very good, Phil. Where have you smuggled booze into?
The big day out.
Oh,
the big day out. Out of the States, you can get fake sun cream bottles that are hip flasks. You can get a fake tampon packet that you can fill with booze. Security aren't going to touch that one.
No, Phil, was it a little bit weird that you were carrying tampons into the big day out? Nobody triggered on that one?
Well, the voice is a little deep, but hey.
Yeah. It's short for Philomena. I love the fact that hip flasks are starting to come back in. I've always owned a hip flask. They're great. Or as I like to call them in Sydney, the poor man's bag of cocaine. what? Because you have to smuggle it in, but... Okay, let's move on. Kayla in Penrith, hello.
Hello.
Where have you smuggled booze into?
Well, me and my friend went on a silent retreat, which is meant to be like for yoga and healthy food no alcohol.
I've heard of this. And you don't do any talking, do you, Kayla?
No.
Yeah, you'll never see me at one of those.
It actually says no alcohol, and we decided to take bottles of wine.
How did you sneak it in? Because apparently they're quite strict at those things where they really mean no booze, don't they?
They do, and they're serious about like the yoga and they're not speaking, but we definitely managed to get a few bottles of wine in there.
So if you're drinking at a retreat where there's not meant to be any speaking and you have a few drinks and you know, you're with a friend, you're going to chat each other's ears off.
Well, you don't. Towards the end, we didn't end up going to many of the sessions we were meant to go to.
So what you're saying is it was a massive waste of money.
Basically.
And you probably should have just gone to Panthers. and you know what? You could have done some yoga at Panthers and the entire process would have been the same.
Exactly the same.
There we go. All right, Gary in Beacon Hill.
Hey, Miz, how are you?
Very good, mate. Where did you smuggle booze into?
Well, we went to the cricket and we took an esky full of drinks, and they were Foster's cans at the time, painted as Coke cans.
You painted them?
Yeah, we painted them. So we made a template out of a Coke can, wrapped it round. So we painted the Foster's cans red, and then we painted a white logo on the front. When we got them into the cricket, or near to the cricket ground, we realised that all the ice had melted and the painting was a bit dodgy.
Oh, Gary!
So we put in some fresh ice, and that was all good because it covered them up. But then the guy, as we were walking into the ground, pulled one out, and the fresh ice was sharp, and it scraped all the paint off, and you could see the Foster's logo underneath it. So he reached in and grabbed another one, and the same thing happened, and he just looked at us and smiled. He said, "You're right, boys. You can go in."
Oh! Australia! 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 Tomorrow, of course, is the big day of the race that stops the nation. The Melbourne Cup. What a day it is indeed. And joining me live from Melbourne is somebody who knows it so much better than I do. And it's probably half Polax, to be honest, by this stage. Emma Friedman, how are you?
God, I wish I was, Mez. I really do.
Okay.
I'm really good. It's been a busy day. We had, you know, the show this morning, and then I've just hosted events all day and haven't had a tipple yet. So tomorrow will be the day to sink a couple in, I reckon.
Yeah. Can I interrupt there for a second? Because when I text Emma and said, "Hey, can we have a chat with you about the Melbourne Cup?" She thought I meant tomorrow, and she wrote back and said, "I'll probably be blind by the time you want to speak to me."
Yeah. Yeah, and we wanted to pre-record at 9:30, so that says a lot.
Yeah, mate. Straight off the air and into the vodka. That's the way the grill team does things. You know that.
So, look, we're going to be looking for some tips from you in a minute, Anne. Yeah. But obviously, you'd probably source tips from Richard, from, you know, from family members, but also to, you know, from the general community. Do you have lots of people ringing you up to give you good oil?
You know what? I literally just was with Richard about half an hour ago, and now he's racing into the studio to do Dead Set Legends, and we were talking about this. I do get the odd, like, text from, and they're, like, usually not from very good friends. They're, like, from people you haven't spoken to in 15 years, and you're like, if I had good mail, why would I be giving it to you? Like,
yeah.
You
okay.
know what I mean?
Okay,
but at the same time, it's such a hard race, Mez, to pick a winner, because, you know, 23 runners tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can't just be choosing one outright. I reckon you've got to be malting them up into like a quinella or a trifecta or something like that.
Wow. And it's look, also too, if you get any of those kind of maltes in a cup, they pay pretty well. So far we've got, as the favourite, is the new one, Marmello. Now, this is a British horse?
Yeah, he's an English stayer. He was sixth in the Caulfield Cup. A lot of people believe that he's had the ideal prep leading into this Melbourne Cup. It was a really strong performance in the Caulfield Cup. He's owned, Mez, by a bunch of absolutely mad Aussies. Like, these guys, if he wins tomorrow, like, half of Melbourne's going to be burnt down by Wednesday morning. Like,
right.
They're going to go absolutely berserk.
Hang on a second. My family are not in the horse racing industry. This is a bit weird.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, there's a lot more of them out there.
And there's a few horses here. For me personally, on the Melbourne Cup, I always bet on horses with seven letters in their names, and there's four running. There's
Better than me. I'm guessing Humidor.
Yep, I'm on that one.
Marmello,
Big Duke, and Nakita.
Okay, all right. Yeah, good job. That's a really crappy strategy, but if it works for you.
Sorry, M, how many letters in the name Farlap?
Seven.
Yeah! Woo!
Is this because there are
like
seven letters in the name Merrick?
Yeah, what?
Is it because
there's seven letters in Merrick as well?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, mate, each to their own. If that's the strategy that works for you, do it, my friend. But, you know, there's other ways to pick a winner as well.
Okay. What do you reckon? Then what do you think is the... I mean, obviously, the favourites are Marmello at about 850 at the moment, Humidor's at 9. Big Duke, which I reckon is going to be... That's the one that's going to win at $18. What do you like? What's your pick?
I like all of those, but as well in my multi, I'm going to add a couple more. I'm going to add Rekindling, who's the number 22.
Yep.
He's only had the 9 starts. He's a really young, nice, progressive staying type, and I think that he could figure in the placings. And also Wall of Fire, number 20, who's another interesting UK runner. His first and only Australian start was a couple of weeks ago, was really strong, and he's in it with the weight. So I think if you boxed all of those up for like a little boxed quinella or trifecta, you could have some luck.
There we go. Always good.
Yeah. I didn't understand
that
any.
I'm literally writing it down, Em. I'm literally writing it down because I'm just going
to boring people to tears.
No, look, obviously, you know, this is Triple M. So, you know, this bloke says to go around, into a kennel. Don't listen to Mary. Listen to Emma Friedman. She said it on Mary's show. She's the only person listening. Well, listen, best of luck for tomorrow, Em.
Thanks, mate.
Enjoy yourself at the Birdcage. I know that you like to get pretty loose there. I saw you there last year when I was with Moon Man, and my God, when you came out of that cake, we were like, what is she doing?
That was early in the day.
Yeah. It wasn't one of those prop cakes. It was a proper actual cake.
Yes,
and it was just 100%. A head that came out. It was going, hang on, how did she even get in there? This is.
Oh, mate, I saw Moon Man this morning. He's battling the big fella with his back at the moment. I was really worried about him.
Oh, Moon Man, don't worry. I'm sure he'll find some medication that will make it easy for him.
He just said that this morning. I'm going home to self-medicate. I was like, you do that.
Emma Freeman, best of luck for tomorrow, darling. Speak to you soon, and we'll see you again
legends.
On the grill team tomorrow from 6 a.m.
104.9. Triple M.
And another day in America, another shooting. Sadly, more than 25 people have been killed in Texas. A gunman has walked into a church. He was, I believe, a former Bible teacher.
Yeah, member of the Bible studies group.
Has walked in and has executed people on a horrific level. Once again, with an automatic military-style weapon that, you know, we're just seeing as we saw the same weapon used, or a similar variant of the weapon used in Las Vegas, and it just is all too common to the point where it's become ridiculous. The conversation just keeps going in circles. It's not even a big topic here anymore. It's a small news story now. 25 people can be killed in a church in America. It's not a massive story here anymore because it's just too common. It's lost its poignancy. It's lost its gravity.
Mm.
very sadly. And the thing is, you can go on about it and, you know, I can try to convince Australians that gun control is a good thing, but it has no impact on America and it has no impact here with us. But when I was thinking about it today, I thought, well, I've got to talk about it because the problem is with the shooting is it is sad. It is a problem. But I don't want to go banging on about it, trying to convince, you know, preach to the converted. So what I thought I'd do, I just went through some statistics about gun control and guns in America and their gun culture that I just find interesting. There's not a heap of them, but I had a little bit of a think about it, and this might inspire you to think about it as well. Gun massacres in the United States are now so common that their impact warrants a cursory mention at best. Radio programs like this one may dedicate a few minutes to a mass shooting, whereas 10 years ago would have been the focus of an entire show. Such is the numbing regularity with which we see them. We're at the point that everyone is talking in circles now. The debate flares up, the circle revolves, nothing changes, then we wait for it to happen again. I, like most of you know, the simple fact, more guns, more gun violence. So rather than convincing you of something you already know, I thought I'd just grab some stats that show the scale of gun culture in America. There are thought to be 300 million guns in the US, held by about a third of the population. That is nearly enough guns for every man, woman, and child in the country. But, interestingly, 3% of the population own 50% of the guns. The US spends more than $1 trillion a year defending itself against terrorism. It costs the US $45 billion a year in hospital, medical, health, and loss of wages as a result of gunshot wounds. That's about 25% more than Australia spends on national defence every year. Between 1968 and 2016, there are about 1.4 million firearm deaths in America. This number eclipses all wars ever fought by the United States. 1.2 million Americans have been killed at war, which shows that America really is its own worst enemy. Guns kill 30,000 Americans a year. That is more than half of all casualties incurred in more than 10 years in the Vietnam War. If I told you the sad fact that there have been 25 shootings at schools since 2013, I would be wrong. There has been 250. That's about one a week. So far this year, there have been over 52,000 gun violent incidents in the US, with more than 13,000 deaths and counting. The next time you go to an NRL match at a Sydney stadium, take a moment and remind yourself that every man, woman, and child you see there is on average as many people die in the US from gun violence every year. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're not America.
That was the Merrickville Catch-Up Podcast.
Make sure you never miss a thing.
Download the Merrickville Catch-Up from the Triple M app.